there's no guarantees in life, but to me, I see what this movement is as a seatbelt. You get into a car accident without a seatbelt, you're probably going to die. But if you have a seatbelt, you're way less likely to die. And so that's kind of how I see eating whole food, plant-based, and exercising, having a healthy body, is just you're greatly reducing your risk of something happening. It is selfish for you to not take care of yourself. If you put other people first and you put yourself on the back burner and you don't take care of yourself, one day the people you love will be forced to take care of you because you didn't take care of yourself.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. It's so lovely to be here with you. How are you doing today? We've been talking this month a lot about habits and discipline and, you know, those New Year resolutions. How are you doing? Are you sticking with it? I sure hope so. It's got to be beyond January. Come on, come on. Let's make this a full year, then make it a lifestyle. You can do it. You can do it. All right. This is, I'm excited actually about this show because I have someone who I've met before and he's just wonderful. His name is Maxime Segoin and he is an accomplished fitness coach and athlete. He's the founder of Fit Vegan Coaching, but he's actually just done a rebranding. So you'll hear about that. And it's going to be called, it's now called Mavy Wellness is what he's changed his name to, his business name. But he helps people all around the country get into healthier lifestyles through plant-based nutrition. That's right. And exercise. So we are kindred spirits in that sense. And he's also someone who loves the Lord. So there you go. He's a brother in Christ. So that's pretty exciting. But he's had over a decade of experience and Maxime has assisted more than 600 vegans. Actually, I think it's closer to 1,000 in successfully transitioning to healthier lifestyles and establishing himself as a prominent voice and leader in the health and wellness community. He offers one-on-one coaching, online courses, and community support. And beyond coaching, Maxime has embarked on a remarkable cycling journey, which we did not talk about in the interview, and I'm so bummed about this, but he went from Canada to San Francisco, and he raised money for cancer patients. So he just has a heart for people, and especially those with cancer, and you will hear why in this episode. But he actually, he's hoping to help 1 million people by the year 2050. Me too, Maxime. Let's do this together. All right. Anyway, I hope y'all enjoy the show. He is a lovely person, and I think you're going to get just jazzed if you are not locked into your health and wellness routine yet this year. Enjoy. Well, Maxime Segoin, did I say that right?
Yeah, you close? Got it right.
Oh, good. Welcome. Welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I know I practiced your last name a couple times and I got it right. Hallelujah. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for being with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Really happy to be here and to, you know, be able to connect with your audience and hopefully provide some value that will help them be healthier.
Yeah. Well, I know you've been in this space for a while and we talk similar language. I mean, we both encourage whole food plant-based and there for a while you were known more as Fit Vegan, right? But you've had a rebranding shift and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But you are more whole food plant-based slash vegan, if you will, but more about getting people to understand nutrition as a whole and the phytochemicals and phytonutrients and how it really fuels their body. And so I really want to dive in immediately before we start unpacking the nutrition side of things. But I want to hear about who is Maxime? How did you get started? And kind of what's your the premise of your passion?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. Very excited. When you said who's Maxim, I was like, whoa, I can go very different routes with this. I can go really surface level, really profound. I think the best way to describe me is I'm very driven to want to help people live to their fullest potential and whatever that looks like for them. And I think my whole life I've been on this path. And, we prayed before we recorded the podcast. Like, I honestly think that God put it in my heart really, really early on to do something really big in the world. And I was like 8 years old and I just had this burning desire inside of me to build something that would change the world and change a lot of lives. I just didn't know what it looked like. And it bothered the heck out of me as I was growing up, that I just had this ball of fire inside that I just wanted to create. Mm-hmm. And I tried so many different things before this company came about and that we have the success that we have now. But I think he just put it in my heart to want to serve people. So I've been my whole life trying to find ways to serve. And, fitness and nutrition was such a big part of who I was. And I figured out that that's what made me me. It helped me build the foundation of discipline and consistency that allowed me to have belief in myself to therefore build the things and go for the things that I thought I was put on this earth for. So Maxim is just one crazy driven guy that's trying to change people, one life at a time. And then what was the other question? Like how all this came about?
Yeah, just the premise of this passion, yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of started that way. And, I've been whole food plant-based for over 11 years now. And maybe, 6 years? I was 22. Yes, over a decade ago.
So you're a baby, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I'm
compared
I'm 32
to me.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm 32
now. 20 plus on you.
Yeah. Just wisdom and life experience. It's a beautiful thing.
There you go.
So when I was 22, I met my late partner. And then within 3 months of us dating, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. And I decided to stay by her side because I love her and I want her to survive that and heal that. And I told her, I was like, hey, I've been eating whole food plant-based for several years. There's a lot of studies kind of showing that that's healthier because she wasn't eating that way. And so she went whole food plant-based and the doctors gave her a year to live. And she ended up living 4.5 years before she passed away, unfortunately. So I was 27 when she passed away. Mm-hmm. And to me, like seeing the extension of her life and how the quality of those years were, because she only really declined within those like last few days of before she passed, I was like, man, there's something to whole food plant-based. Like this really sealed the deal for me. And maybe 8 months before she passed away is when I started this current business. And there was two reasons. One is I needed to make money to pay for those cancer treatments because I was severely in debt from funding everything myself. Wow. And it was COVID. So I was like, I got to go online because no stores are open. I would work 3 jobs if I could to provide, but I just couldn't because everything was shut down. So it was like, I was forced to go online. And that's kind of where it started. And then after she passed, I was like, you know what? I want to help people not end up in her position. Because for her, there's some tests you can do and none of it was genetic. It was purely lifestyle created through stress and proper eating. She was running a company living off of, protein bars and energy drinks. And so I knew that if I can get people to eat whole food plant-based, if I can get people to exercise, I can get people to manage their stress and take care of their bodies, that I could greatly reduce their risk of dealing with the main chronic illnesses, like the four horsemen.
Yeah.
And again, there's no guarantees in life, but to me, I see what this movement is as a seatbelt. So if you get into a car accident without a seatbelt, you're probably going to die. But if you have a seatbelt, you're way less likely to die. And so that's kind of how I see eating whole food plant-based and exercising, having a healthy body is just you're greatly reducing your risk of something happening. So that's kind of how it had all started.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the way you say it. It's like a seatbelt because it really is, especially when someone like yourself and myself that have dug into all kinds of research and know the science. And we've seen different patients and clients come through with different results. It's like it just speaks volume. And so we want to shout it from the rooftops. I mean, it's like we have something good to tell you, you know? So you don't want to keep that to yourself. So I love your heart behind it. And you know, God doesn't waste anything. And so, you were always an athlete, right? And you were doing, weren't you doing bodybuilding and that kind of thing before whole food plant-based came into your life?
Oh, yeah. I was a basketball player. I did bodybuilding. I did powerlifting. And then after I went plant-based, I fell more into endurance types races. So like triathlon, half Ironman, did a bunch of half Ironmans. Top 5% in the world for my age group when I was competing within like 2-3 years.
Congratulations.
And this was like my last round of like heavily competing. And I got to back into basketball as an old man for basketball at 32. And that's how I got my injury in this past July. I was at a professional scouting event.
Wow. And yeah, before the call, you said you had a concussion, and yet that concussion hasn't even been wasted because it kind of snapped some fear out of you, of your mind. And so you went through this whole rebranding kind of phase, and that's what you're working on now. So you did have something called Fit Vegan Coaching, and it's been very successful. You've worked with thousands of clients, and they've had great success. But now you've shifted gears, and I will say that you're married to a lovely, beautiful woman. Her name's Ivy, and you guys have rebranded to Mavi Wellness. Is that right?
Yeah, Mavi Wellness.
Mavi,
so Maxim
Mavi
and Ivy
Wellness.
Together.
Yeah. Mavi. Gotcha. I love that. So that's a new kind of transition. And within that transition, you've also recently written a book, which is fantastic, by the way, Forever Fit. And that subtitle is Body Recomposition Transformation System. And so let's talk about Forever Fit for just a moment, because I think, you know, we all want to be forever fit. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. So the reason we call it Forever Fit is because realistically, you won't be forever fit for the rest of your life. Meaning there will be phases where you slightly get out of shape compared to what your standard is, because life gets busy, life gets stressful. Your partner gets sick. You got to take care of them. You can't train like an athlete. You have other responsibilities. You have kids, or, you know, you're a grandparent, you're taking care of your grandkids, or some friends start to get sick, or your parents get sick, and you have to take care of your parents. So life will happen. And so the reason we call it Forever Fit is because we want to give people the tools and the systems to be able to sustainably get fit and stay fit and get back to being fit if ever they do go off track, right? Like you mentioned earlier, I've been an athlete my whole life. I've been out of shape so many times. The last time was because of a concussion, and I got back in shape, and then I really injured my ankle, which I'm still not fully recovered from. So I'm not the fittest I've ever been. So I'm out of shape for my own standard, and that's okay. An ankle injury. We'll just get back at it whenever my ankle feels better, right?
And you do what you can do. Yeah,
exactly. I still exercise. I still monitor my nutrition, but I can't sprint the way that I was sprinting before. And so it's basically giving the tools to people so that they can learn to get in shape the first time and do it properly. Because to me, how you lose the weight is how you keep it off.
Yeah.
So if you starve yourself on 800 calories a day, then that's what you're going to have in your brain as the blueprint of how to lose weight in the future if ever you do put on weight again. And that's miserable. That's breakfast, right? Like it shouldn't be your whole daily intake.
Right. Well, it's not only miserable, it's just an unhealthy relationship with food. And so I know that's one of the things that you help your clients with as well, is to help them have a healthy relationship with food and understand just the education behind it. It's not just like, okay, here's what you need to do and you know, and do this or you're not going to succeed. It's like, okay, here, I'm going to educate you so that you know how your body is going to fully function when you do fuel your body this way, right? And so you do talk about reverse dieting, and let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, everyone is always about dieting, especially as this episode is dropping in the month of January. Most people are thinking diet. Let's talk about reverse dieting.
Yeah, for sure. So reverse dieting is a principle that I took from the bodybuilding world, because I used to compete in bodybuilding, and it's something a lot of competitors do post-show. Mm-hmm. So basically, you have to severely restrict your calories. You exercise like a machine to be able to achieve unhealthy levels of body fat, right? We obviously stop before we get to unhealthy levels of body fat, but the principle still applies after. Like, how do we get you to live like a normal human and eat like a normal human after you've lost the weight? But what most people do, and that's why like I think this has like 95% of people put the weight back on within 6 to 12 months after they've lost it, which is crazy because you just put so much effort into right. losing the weight. And then a year later, you're like, ah, we're back in the same place or worse. So reverse dieting is a process of speeding up your metabolism post-transformation to get your body used to eating a higher amount of food to maintain the results that you've achieved. And so you just do that through slowly and methodically re-adding calories on a weekly basis, watching how your body responds. And you're basically tricking your body into being able to process more food. Because what most people do is they lose the weight, they're in a deep calorie deficit, and then they go like, yeah, I reached my goal, I lost 40 pounds. Let me go enjoy myself and treat myself because I've worked so hard. But you're adding in so many calories, and you got to think that your body is basically, it doesn't know that you've been dieting. It's just like, I've been in the desert for a long time. There has not been a lot of food. There's a random buffet in the middle of the desert. I'm going to eat as much as I can, and I'm going to store a ton of fat as energy for the future because I don't know when's the next time I'm going to encounter a buffet because you've been starving me for like 3, 4, 5 months.
Yeah, the body is smart. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is. It only wants to survive. Like it, if you think of this logically, someone that weighs 500 pounds to the body, it has so much energy stored for the future. Right? Like it, obviously there's a point where it's unhealthy. You need to have a healthy level of body fat. But to the body, it's just storing energy. That's all it's doing. It's like, I'm going to need this for later. I don't know when's the next time I'm going to have access to food. You know, it's new to the human body that there's a Whole Foods or Trader Joe's around the corner. Like food right. wasn't always as accessible, you know, before we kind of got into this era. So the body's smart.
That's a good point. Food is so easily accessible. And food in air quotes here, a lot of times it's not food, right? Because it's the standard American diet and that's what people are gravitating to. And yet they're in a toxic hunger situation, never satisfied. And that's why they're, you know, gaining so much weight because they're keep shoveling in the standard American diet processed foods. But I want to talk about just how transformation really happens here first in the mind. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
100%. I tell people, you can have the best workout program in the world, the best meal plan in the world. It's not going to change anything if you don't do anything with it. It's just a piece of paper you got on a PDF you got on your computer, a piece of paper you got on your desk. It won't do anything for you. You actually have to do it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And not only do you have to do it, you have to think about yourself differently. I think, you know, I typically work with a lot of women and there tends to be a lot of kind of past unhealed emotional wounds, just kind of that stinking thinking kind of thing. There's some shame, condemnation. There's just a lot of layers of things to get through in order to have the mindset to continue to have that healthy discipline. And so what have you seen with your clients that are dealing with stuff, life stuff, because everyone has stuff, and how do you work with them so that they can peel back the layers of that onion, so to speak, and get to those tears, cry it out, and move forward in a healthy way?
Yeah, for sure. Mindset, there would be so many components to it, but I'll cover kind of the basics, and then there's like common patterns that we see, and that's kind of describes most people. But a lot of the time when people have the plan, they stick to the plan at the beginning because it's exciting and then it's fun. And then life gets stressful
right away.
Yeah, and they see results right away. And because it's just because it's new, right? It's kind of like a new relationship. It's like the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
But eventually the honeymoon phase ends. And then for everyone that's married, then you have to learn to figure it out post-honeymoon phase. Like, how do we continue to nurture this relationship and keep it fun so we stay married for the rest of our life? And it's the same thing with fitness. Like once the excitement fades, like how do you continue to do the action that will continue to get you the benefits and, you know, add years to your life and quality of years to your life? And then learning to navigate that when it's not sexy, when it's not fun, that's the biggest part that most people struggle with. And because it's not sexy and it's not fun, then when you have to stay longer at work for a day, you're like, I'll just move the workout. I'll just order pizza tonight and because I don't have time to cook healthy food tonight, right? Or I won't do my meal prep tomorrow because I'm busy with the kids and there's something happening. So
then,
things start to get...
Oh, I failed, so why even keep going? Because of the one hiccup, right?
Yeah, and I got a funny analogy for you on the... That's basically self-sabotage, right? Like, oh, I messed up. Let me just continue to mess up the rest of the day. So a lot of what a coach does is talk you off the ledge, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. It's like, hi, you messed up. Cool. Win the next meal, win the next workout. All right. Like, don't try to cut more food. Don't try to do more exercise. It's fine. It happens. Because if you're trying to play that game, you're starting a vicious cycle of like undereating and overeating and overexercising and then overeating by default because you're hungry because you just exercise a bunch. Yeah. So a lot of time is just talking people off the ledge and walking them back. But then on a, as a core fundamental issue, a lot of people don't believe that they deserve it, and or they feel guilty for taking that time for themselves.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, trying to help their husband, trying to help their wife, trying to take care of their kids, or taking care of their parents a little bit older or sicker, or just they're the type of people that say yes to everyone else but don't say yes to themselves. And to those people, I have a little reframing, and I put that in the book, and I see in a lot of podcasts, which is, it is selfish for you to not take care of yourself, and it is selfless for you to take care of yourself. Because if you put other people first and you put yourself on the back burner and you don't take care of yourself, one day the people you love will be forced to take care of you because you didn't take care of yourself. They're going to force to see you in a wheelchair. They might be forced to see you go through cancer or a heart attack or dealing with some of these chronic illnesses. Not to get dark, but if you don't take care of your health, like, those are the outcomes. And a lot of people are dealing with that now. So from someone that's been in a caregiver position, it is the hardest thing in the world. You feel so powerless. You have someone you love, you care for, and you can't save them. Money, time, can't save them. They're sick, and now like they have to do their own actions to try to get better. And you'll support them as best as you could, but you feel so powerless, and it's the worst feeling in the world. So don't put the people you love in that position just because you didn't want to go work out 3 times a week for 30 minutes. You want to do your, you know, take some steps every day. You don't want to stop scrolling on Instagram and go to bed on time. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, biblically speaking, we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? But we can't love our neighbor if we don't love ourselves, right? Like, it's the same what you're talking about right there. And I just think, and I'm going back to women, because a lot of women typically put themselves last because they're taking care of the family more. But I mean, I don't know, it's men too, but I would say more often than not, it's the women that tend to kind of just fall into bed, just exhausted. Yeah, they're caregivers. They're just nurturers, and by default. So anyway, I love your book. I mean, you've done a fantastic job, and you talk about a 5-phase Forever Fit blueprint. Do you want to walk through that 5-phase blueprint with us, or? And I love that you've kind of unpacked everything in the book. Like, you're like, here's my plan. Here you go. Either hire us or don't. I just want to give you a tool that can really help you.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so I'll cover the 5 phases, but I'll explain why I wrote the book the way that I wrote it. Like, the idea is you can read the book and do the book, and that's the same as doing a program, right? Because when my late partner passed away, my mission that I've created for myself was help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce the risk of chronic illness by 2033, mm-hmm. and 1 million by 2050. We're nearing 1,200 people now. I've been doing this for almost 6 years. And like 10,000 by 2033, I was like, I feel like confident we can do that at the pace we're going, because it's exponential every year. But the 1 million by 2050, I was like, I gotta get real creative for that. And so how I count a life transform is not a listener on YouTube or a follower on Instagram, is someone that we actively work with and or that got all the information to transform. Gotcha. So then I was like, man, if I put everything into a book, I can count that person as a life impacted, because they literally have all the information that we provide our clients. So all the equation, all the steps and everything, because there's workout programs, meal plans, meal and recipes and everything in the book.
Sure.
So now every book sold counts towards that mission, that goal of 10,000 people by 2023 and 1 million by 2050. So I put it all in the book. Like, if you are a competitor, read the book, copy me. Doesn't matter. I just want people to transform, right?
Right, right. So
the 5 phases, phase 1 is body recomposition, just simply because for most people that we work with, they're looking to actively lose some body fat and put on some lean muscle, especially as they're kind of getting older. Because especially now, we work with people like 50, and our oldest member is her birthday soon. She's going to be 87.
Nice.
So that's kind of like the range of people that we work with. So body recomposition, right? We're trying to combat sarcopenia. We're trying to combat osteopenia. Strength training is great for that. Resistance training. And then
hormones.
Exactly. Yeah. And then losing body fat. Because a lot of people, like you've mentioned earlier, probably have like decades of trauma or like history of yo-yo dieting and beating themselves up. Yeah. So phase one is body recomposition, and that takes however long is needed, depending on how much weight you got to lose. If you have 5 pounds of body recomp or 80 pounds of body recomposition. And then you move into phase two, which is reverse dieting, which is what we spoke about earlier, like speeding up the metabolism to get you back up to a normal level of food. So you don't eat like a bird for the rest of your life.
Yeah, because that's not working.
Nah, you just put the weight back on. You get hungry at one point, right?
Yeah.
Also, like just in terms of duration, like body recomposition, we aim to lose like 1 to 3 pounds of fat per month, right? So we're a little bit on the slower side for the reason being that we're not trying to focus on weight loss. We're trying to focus on fat loss. Those are two different things. You can lose 5 pounds of fat, 5 pounds of muscle, you'll be 10 pounds lighter. It's your goal to be lighter, to be fit, leaner, and tighter, right?
Right.
So that's duration. People can do their math on that. Reverse dieting takes about 4 months to do, because the faster you go, that's kind of the equivalent of just going to eat whatever you want after a fat loss. So it takes about 4 months to do that. And on average, we can add about 800 to 1,000 calories additional on top of what they were eating at the end of their fat loss to maintain the weight that they lost. And usually there's like, they either stay the same weight or max put on 1 or 2 pounds. Because obviously they're like literally physically eating more food in their body. Sure. So there's more glycogen that's stored. They build muscle during that time.
Sure. And maybe phase they've upped their activity and muscle building activity as well.
Yeah, because it acts as a little bit of like a more active lean muscle building phase, because you're slowly increasing the food. So there's more food for recovery.
Right.
Phase three is going to be your lean muscle building phase. So just actively going into a slight calorie surplus so that you can put on some muscle. Just because, again, as you get older, you naturally lose more lean muscle tissue, and you can put some lean muscle on a calorie deficit, but definitely not as much as if you go on a calorie surplus, because you need that excess of energy to be able to fuel the recovery.
Makes sense.
Then you graduate into maintenance phase. So that's where we teach people to move more towards like intuitive style eating at that point. So there's not necessarily a need to put so much awareness into like either following a meal plan or guidelines that we have and or tracking your food. Some people like tracking their food. The reason we don't do that at the beginning is because people's intuition sucks at the beginning. they don't know what food, they look at food and like, I think that's 100 calories. I'm like, that's actually 400 calories.
Right. So people, like oil alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who puts a tablespoon in their salad? It's probably like 3-4. That's 400 calories. That's more than the actual salad of what's in the ingredients. And then phase five is our athletic phase. So we invite our members to pick something that they didn't think was possible when they first came in. So it can be something as running a 5K race, a 10K, a half marathon, a marathon, doing a triathlon. We have a lot of people go down the triathlon road. Some people have races and where they like go across two states and they do it with a group of people. So just kind of train people for whatever event it is that they want to do, just to show them that like, hey, you are able to do this. The body is still highly adaptable, even if you're 70, even if you're 80. Because to me, that's like the belief breaker. It's like, oh my God, I didn't think I would ever be able to do this, right? We got Judy, she's pretty known inside of our program, but she is 72, if I'm not mistaken. And she can do 40 military push-ups in a row, like
that's
full push-up,
incredible.
Not on her knees, nothing.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah.
But she couldn't do one when we started.
Yeah.
And so to her, that was a goal of hers. And some of them, it's, you know, it's pull-ups and things like that. So,
and the confidence phase five, that brings, right? Like it's powerful.
Yeah. And that's the belief breaker at that point. It's like you did something you didn't think was possible, regardless of your age. And that just brings on a whole new perspective on life after. It's like, I've transformed, I've done this cool thing. What else can I do? And then life becomes more fun versus dreading being around food versus dreading having to exercise. Like there's just more joy at that point.
Yeah. You show up in the world differently. That's for sure. That's so good.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. I cut you off. And then five.
Oh, so five is the athletic phase. So four was maintenance.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
We got it. You covered it. I just wasn't listening to the numbers.
That's okay.
You got it. Well, good. Well, I love it. You know, everything about transformation, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. Like I'm just all about it when people are ready to see a shift and a change. And I think a lot of people come in and they're pretty scared in the beginning, right? Because they've been through maybe so many other programs, whether it's yours or not yours, but others in the past that didn't work. And then they come into yours and they're like, oh, okay, here's one more. Is it going to work? And so that's where that mindset comes in. Same with mine. You know, it's real important for people to just really understand the basics and get back to the basics. And that's one of the things that you talk about as well, especially after they have, you know, come in, made the commitment. It's like, just let's get to the basics. And I think so often we want to dismiss that, thinking, oh, well, that was kindergarten. That was elementary. I know all that already, right? But the basics are what's kind of missing in a lot of people's habits and routines. And that's what's tripping them up. And it's something as simple as your sleep patterns or getting up and seeing the sunrise and sunset and deep breathing, just simple basics. But what are some basics that you have your clients do that is like, this is a game changer?
Yeah. I just gotta say, add to that, like, the basics are hard, which is why most people are trying to do the fancy stuff, right? It's like, oh, should I take this?
Well, they're not
burner?
As sexy either, right?
Yeah. What supplement should I buy? Because the bottle looks really colorful and cool, and I feel cool taking a little pill or a powder in the morning. You know, just fundamental basics. Like you said, if you can, three things that would drastically change your life. And I'm not even going to talk about training, nutrition, because those are like obviously two big ones that would make a big difference.
Right.
But if you can improve the quality of your sleep, you will anyone listening can remember a morning where they slept for a longer amount of time than normal. They woke up without an alarm and you're like, oh my God, life is amazing. I feel so good. I can do anything today.
Yeah.
But imagine if you can wake up like that every day.
Yeah.
Right. Now, realistically, you'll probably have some shitty days here and there. But for the most part, like if you can prioritize having good sleep hygiene, so when I go to bed at the same time, try to wake up around the same time, try not to be on your phone before you go to bed. Yeah, you
got my Whoop band. I track it.
Yeah, Whoop, O-ring, like track your sleep. Try and cut out caffeine 12 hours before bedtime, because it does make a pretty big difference on your sleep score if you're tracking it. It definitely tanks your HRV a little bit. Blue light. So those would be like basics. If you just improve your sleep. And a lot of the time, it's TV and phones that mess it up for most people, right? Yeah. It's not really anything else in this day and age. Usually it's TV and phone. The other thing is being hydrated. Like cravings could be hidden as dehydration. If you're hydrated, your brain functions better. Your body functions better. Who cares if you got to go pee 2-3 more times to the bathroom? It makes your body feel better and healthier.
Yeah.
And then the other one is honestly just moving throughout the day, right? So, you know, neat non-exercise activity, thermogenesis. So that's like me fidgeting when I'm talking or walking up the stairs versus grabbing the elevator or just going for a walk outside. You moving your body throughout the day can account for 15 all the way up to like almost 40% of your calories burned for the day, depending on the day. But 15 to 45% of your calories burned for the day. Exercise is about 5%. When you do a strength training session or a resistance training session, it's about 5%. So to me, you don't go to the gym to burn calories. You go to the gym to tear those muscle fibers so that when you're recovering and eating, you're building more lean muscle. But the actual thing that burns most calorie is just you moving throughout the day. So if you go to the gym for 30 minutes and you sit in a chair all day, you could be optimizing a little bit more, you know?
Which is so often the situation with the average American person, with what they do for a living or just how their choices that they make. They're exhausted, they come home, they sit on the couch, and you know, so it is having that mindset shift of and it could even be like, you know, putting reminders on your phone or whatever, like, okay, stand up, walk around the office or that kind of thing. But what do you tell somebody that they've got a sedentary job, like they are, what do they do?
Yeah, so when you can schedule walks, I have scheduled walks in my calendar. As much as I run a fitness company, I spend a lot of time on my computer. I do have a stand-up desk also that helps. So I can like stand up and kind of move around. But to me, I just schedule walks in the morning, midday, and in the evening with my wife just to kind of wrap up the day and kind of decompress. And also when you're into nature, then you feel a lot better when you take a walk outside. So one, it would just be scheduling it. If you have a regular job and they won't let you have a stand-up desk because it's not a part of the budget, you probably have breaks. You should probably go walk during those breaks versus sit at your lunch break table on your phone scrolling while you're eating a banana. Right?
There you go.
Go outside, eat your banana without the phone.
While you're walking.
Exactly. It's just, you know, it comes down to those little micro decisions throughout the day to choose to move more. But even if you work a desk job for 8 hours a day, and I can promise you, I probably sit more than most people, especially now, like if I show you a screenshot of my schedule, it give most people anxiety. But in between those, I'm up, I have my backyard right there, I'll go for a walk outside, just get some fresh air, and I'll come back in and I'll do another video or have another meeting. So there's always a way to make it work.
Even if you're an Uber driver.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Sure. In between rides, you can. Uh-huh. Was it Tony say motion creates emotion or something like that? So if you're tired, like honestly, what I'll do, if I'm really tired and I need to get things done, I'll put some of my favorite music and I'm just kind of like dance a little bit just to kind of get myself in the mood. And then it's like, all right, cool. I'm ready. Let's record. Let's do the meeting.
I love it. Yeah. And then that gives you a different attitude and and it gets that blood pumping, and that's the key. So we're not meant to be sedentary. So I love it. Well, I am just so excited about your new book and really want people to get their hands on it and partake in what you are saying, because you share a lot of the same things that I share. And I'm like, yes, let's just get America healthy, because you grew up in Canada, right? And so, you know that, our healthcare system here versus in Canada, it's a little more expensive here. And so it's like, oh my gosh, your health really is your true wealth. Like don't be wasting all this money in the healthcare system when you can actually take care of your body yourself and eliminate, that need. But, yeah. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that, but I just know that we're on a mission and I love that you wrote this book. And so where can people get Forever Fit?
Yeah, thank you. Before I share, I got to say the hospital thing, because Canada is free. So it is, now that I got my green card and I live here, it is a very different psychology when you get hurt. Because in Canada, I get hurt, I'm like, cool, let's just go to a hospital. Yeah, you have to wait for a long time. But so you're here. But here, when I got the concussion, in Vegas at the event, I went to the hospital and they're like, oh, we'll just bill you after. And it took a $250 for just to be there. Well, like $250, it's not too bad to go to hospital. And they're like, oh, we maybe need to do a scan of your brain to see if you have internal bleeding. But I was like joking around, I was doing pretty good. And they're like, okay, you don't really need it, but if you want to be safe, you can do it. I'm like, how much is a scan?
It's a moneymaker for those scans too.
Yeah, so I told them, I was like, if it's like $2,000-$3,000, I'll do it. I'll pay out of pocket. He's like, oh no. He's like $15,000, $17,000, $20,000. I was like, to scan my brain for 20. I was like, I have no internal bleeding for $20,000. I'm fine, man. So
I'm good to go.
I was like, I'm okay.
I've got the ultimate physician. The Lord is on my side. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. Wow. That's fine. And then even after, I started to get bills. And I think just that visit to see and the stitching and everything, I think it went all the way up to like $4,000 for it. But because I don't have insurance here, what's great though about this is I negotiated down to like $800. You can negotiate it if you don't have insurance.
Because you were paying out of pocket, right? And not, right. Because See, that's a good little tip, negotiate.
Oh, for sure. Because if you tell them you have insurance, they don't negotiate because they know insurance will pay and they can get as much as possible.
Sure.
Little trick for you. The book.
That.
Yeah. If you go to foreverfitbook.com. That's where you can buy a copy of the book. And it'll, by the time this comes out, it'll bring you to Amazon. So depending on your country of choice, we'll be able to kind of ship everywhere.
Okay.
A big part with the book is, if you enjoy it, I'm new to this whole book thing. This is my first book coming out, but I heard that reviews really help.
Yes. Reviews. I will give it a review to Maxime, I promise. And, it's going to do really well. I believe that.
Thank you. So, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on. Any like maybe last words of encouragement for someone who's maybe on the fence of transitioning into a new program, or they're doing that New Year resolution thing and don't really know what to do and they're in that stinking thinking place? What would you tell them?
Yeah. Honestly, the best thing And I'm going to say it, and it's only going to resonate with a few percentage of people that are actually ready to hear it. But that's okay, because everyone's in different places. Care more about the goal than the duration. Because most people are like, in the next 3 months, I want to lose 40 pounds. Because to them, it feels like a chore and it's going to be a big task. So they don't want to do it for a long period of time. So they're trying to condense the timeline as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, if the timeline is too short, you have to take really extreme measures to try to get there within that short timeline. And what most people don't understand is, in order to drop 20 pounds in 2 months, at this example, which is crazy fast, you really have to cut your food and like really be dialed in and really be overly perfect to be able to accomplish that, which I don't recommend people do. You will go at a certain speed, and along the journey of getting to that goal, you will learn the lessons to go at that speed. But the issue is, you can't maintain that speed for the rest of your life. And so the faster you go, you'll learn lessons to go that fast. The slower you go, the more sustainable you go, you will learn lessons to go at that pace. So move forward towards your goal at a pace that you know you can maintain for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Because you think it's just about, because you think it's just about losing 20 pounds. Like, no, you have to work out, and you get to work out for the rest of your life. You get to eat healthy for the rest of your life. So how do you pace yourself to be able to do that for the rest of your life? You're not going to do it eating 800 calories and working out 2 hours every day. That's just not going to happen. Life is going to get busy.
Yeah. That's a good word. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Maxime. And what is your life verse? We mentioned it before the call, and I was like, yes, because I love it too. So why don't you share that before we go?
Yeah. Philippians 4:13. I got it tattooed on my shoulder. It was my first tattoo ever, I think, actually. And I got like probably 30 something at this point, but that was like my first one.
What's the one on your hand? I'm seeing your hand.
Oh, that's a lion.
Ah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. You know, if someone has a hand tattoo, they got a bunch of tattoos somewhere else.
Yeah, right. Well, you're awesome, Maxime. Love your heart. Love your tats. And thanks for being on. And everybody go to foreverfit.com and go get the book. All right. Blessings, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.